Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hello, everyone. It's another beautiful Monday. Excited to be here, and for all our Facebook Live subscribers out there following us on their internet today, hello to all of you. We're excited to be here. I'm here with Kaz, and we'll get to Kaz here in a moment. But first things first, Bruce, why don't you tell us about your little expedition out of the country? And I know you're just kind of getting your sails and, you know, wits about you again here, grounded in America.
Yeah, yeah. Went had a nice trip to where was it? Honduras, and then Belize, and back up to Mexico, and then back here. So it was a fun journey. Kind of came back and got back with it. And you know, something occurred this week. I had two coaching clients, and I'll see if this fits, and if it doesn't with our guest, and we can chew on this another time. But I have several clients that I coach that are, you know, I would say sole proprietor type of 1099, sole proprietor type of guys. And they feel kind of stuck at that 200,000 mark. Mm. You know, like it's hard to, it seems like there's some sort of a veil at earning $200,000, there's some veil that has to be pierced to get to the higher levels. And I know that depends on what they're doing and how they're doing it and their mechanisms and those things. But I didn't want to throw that out there categorically, that seemed to be a little trend this week in the practice with some of the clients.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I could see that. And maybe for any of you listeners out there, if you're tuning in, you know, tune into this. Whether you're, again, you're listening via the live stream or the Facebook Live here. But I really think this gets down to the heart of it. And I know you're going to speak on some of this here in a couple minutes with us, Kaz, but, you know, around limiting beliefs. You know, I know for me, even I can honestly, you know, say that when you make a certain threshold, John Maxwell speaks on this, actually, the law of the lid, you only will make whatever income level you believe you're worth. Right. So it's a real self-confidence thing, and it's a belief oriented thing, I believe. And I don't know what you were coaching them up on, Bruce, but, you know, I can tell you from experience, until you, as you put it categorically, until you believe you're worth more and sort of can say, you know what? Yeah, I'm worth 500K or I'm worth a million and a half or whatever. Right. Because these are the things that I'm doing that can generate that value for other people's lives or their businesses. Then you can feel oriented with it, and then obviously charge for it or attract that into your life. And for whatever reason, I found myself, even I was stuck a couple years ago too, until you have it's a burning internal belief. I mean, is that what you sort of found too, Bruce?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, definitely that was the first thing, is the belief. I mean, definitely the first thing is the belief, and then sustaining that and maintaining that, you know, with meaningful action that follows that, very consistent, meaningful action that does follow in line with those beliefs. But yeah, you kind of, water seeks its own level, and you do kind of attract what kind of vibe you're feeling and whatever else. That's obviously a first step. And then seems like there's some other things that need to follow with folks as well procedurally. So anyway, well, man, I'm seeing you guys on the live stream. It looks like quite the gun show there. It looks like our guest has done a few triceps and curls.
Kaz is he's a notorious barbell-esque guy. He's trained with the Navy SEALs and
wow,
other folks. So all right. He has quite the gun show for sure.
All right. All right, got both you guys on there with the short sleeve shirts on. So
I'm the baby guns compared to his people. Right. Not the bazooka guns.
All right, I hear you. Good job. Good job.
Well, without further ado, let's get into it, and let's which I think will tie nicely to everything we've been talking about for a while now, Bruce. You know, around mental clarity and focus, which we talk about from time to time. But we've been talking a lot in recent weeks around marketing. I mean, even last week with Luson, we talked about, you know, the way she can market her business there in LA. And then there's this whole other aspect, which we haven't talked about a lot, at least recently, but around lifestyle. And so that's why I'm extremely excited to have a gentleman on today with us that, you know, needs no introduction, but he deserves it, right? So I'm just going to kind of read some of his career highlights. Mr. Kaz Khosravani. So a little bit about Kaz. Kaz is actually one of my oldest, dearest friends here in California. Yes. So when I moved out here in 2011 and was kind of finding my way, we were neighbors back then, right?
Yes.
So we met each other through the community that we lived in, and we became fast friends. And then found out that we had a common interest in business and in entrepreneurship. Fast forward, at the time I was still at Cisco Systems, so I was still just kind of teetering in entrepreneurship, right? Or as we jokingly say, I was probably an entrepreneur back then. But when I finally made the leap, and it was truly a leap of faith, and you know, dove, you know, I definitely left before I looked into entrepreneurship. Kaz was I would say at the crux and really at the forefront of helping me really start the business, and in particular from an internet marketing perspective. At the time, he was and still is, you know, by all means, an expert in online branding, reputation management, SEO, and the like, and really taught me some of the tools and tips for that piece of the business. Fast forward now, he's opened some other businesses as well, which I'm going to let him speak more to, but. Just a couple of quick career highlights about Kaz, so you guys can get an appreciation for the guests we have on today, which I'm so excited about.
Thank you.
Kaz has taught over 50 4-credit courses at Harvard, UCLA, and UC Irvine.
That's right, Harvard.
He's talked about higher education in America in front of an audience of over 14,000 and the president of the U.S. He's definitely considered a marketing expert, as I stated, and has shared the stage with Donald Trump, Tony Robbins, and others. He was chosen as a strategic partner with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and TEDx conferences to publicize more around his businesses. He single-handedly developed a certificate program in e-commerce for entrepreneurs at University of California, Irvine. And the list goes on and on. I'm just going to highlight one more here. And he was one of the first people chosen by TED conferences to organize TEDx in Santa Monica and Newport Coast. So, and by the way, this list is like 20 deep. I'm only sharing the couple here because hopefully he can integrate some more of these in his discussion with us. But Kaz, I'm so thrilled to have you on here today. As I shared with him before we started, he's actually one of the first people I thought of that I wanted to have on as a guest. But you know, like anything, when you're starting a new venture, and this podcast is certainly a new venture, you want to get your bearings about you. And I was like, all right, I want to get my bearings about me before I have a guy like Kaz on, you know, who's so credible, who brings so much value to the market.
Thank you.
So without further ado, Kaz Khosravani, everyone.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. I really was happy when you called me because I know you, I know your passion for everything, and I'm sure I'm going to get to know your partners here. It's interesting, you guys started talking about the belief or limiting belief in the case of a person with a $200,000 cap, because I always tell my own clients that everything starts from your purpose and your mission and your vision. If you don't have that, if you don't have a clarity
right.
of that mission, vision, and purpose, then right below it, you cannot have the solid belief, empowering belief that takes you there. And that's a very interesting thing you said. And right now I'm working with some clients who are partners, and one has that belief. They're stuck at $2 million right now. But one of them really cannot see themselves or their firm to go beyond that. One does, one doesn't. So I was glad when you mentioned you might want to talk about clarity. As you know, so many of us are so creative and we want to do millions of things. Great, except comes a lack of focus, because creative people want to do millions of things at once, and that can have a drawback.
Yes, it can. I think we've all been guilty of it. In fact, I know you suffer from this too, which is like the yes syndrome. Yes. Of the domino effect that happens when you say yes to a bunch of things.
Yes.
And then you're right. Yes. And it's like, oh shit, now I have all this other stuff to do. And sometimes you get in over your head, or as you like to say, you know, it's like when you get that nice plate of food, you're like, you know, your eyes are bigger than your stomach.
Yeah.
I feel like I suffer from that a lot as an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. No, it's interesting. You mentioned, I spent some time with current and former Navy SEALs. And I remember when we were going through that hellish 3 days and nights of no sleep and doing all the stuff Navy SEALs do, the main thing they keep talking about was that clarity of your mission and purpose. Otherwise, the mind wants to shut down. The mind wants to give up.
Yeah.
And it applies to Navy SEALs. It applies to entrepreneurs. Because everybody thinks when they start a business, there's all this excitement and all that. But as you know, and I'm sure everybody else knows, is there's going to be tons of challenges ahead. And when we face the challenges, then what do you do? And that's why vast majority of business startups fail.
Right.
Because they face the challenges and they fold. And that has to do with the lack of purpose. That's the, you know... Again, our bodies wasn't even working anymore because of the toughness of what we were going through. But that clear vision was what got us through, basically.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I mean, I know everyone out there probably is like, you know, another coach talking about mission and vision and purpose. Yeah. And the why and all that. But you know why we talk about it so much? Because it's so fucking important.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It is absolutely that important. And in, you know, I won't name any names, but I too, in my weekly ventures that I'm running my businesses, you can just see it written all over people's faces. Like if they have lack of passion, it's due to this. It's due to the lack of clarity on the why and the purpose. So,
well, and part of it is they keep focusing on how to start the business, how to do marketing, The reality is you can Google anyhow these days.
Yeah.
But none of that how to do things will work unless you can face challenges and go over obstacles. And that has to do with your purpose. And people might say, oh, I don't need it. I know I have the purpose. But again, when going gets tough, that's when people know what they are made up of. And again, it's not about who's tough and not. It's about how to build that, because any entrepreneur can build that. But they have to put serious thought into their mission and purpose, then they can go on and face any challenges.
So I know you've done some pretty outrageous things. you're definitely an explorer by nature. You jumped out of planes. You've done Navy SEAL training. What else am I missing that you've done?
I've done it all. Recently, last year, I went to a Spartan race. I loved it, man. I loved it. And then I took a... team of entrepreneurs and my clients to this Spartan race, because they learned so much during that race about teamwork, about the power of peer group.
Right.
You know, I'll get back to a Spartan race, but I remember the first thing that really impressed me when I spent some time with his former Navy SEALs was I always could hold on to the plank position for a minute to two.
Yeah.
When we went there, the first thing they did to us was to hold on to the plank position, and we held on to it for 30 minutes. It was so mind-boggling and shocking to me, because my record was 2 minutes. That, you know, I said, how is it possible? And really, how was peer group? You have these people doing it with you. Everybody cracks a joke when you're really feeling like this is it. I'm going to go down. I'm going to break. And you don't want to put your, you don't want your peers to be disappointed. You don't, you do anything for your peer.
Yeah.
So if outrageous things, I wanted to talk, speak on a stage with, at the time, billionaire Donald Trump. He wasn't president.
he wasn't president.
Yeah, with the Federal Reserve Chairman, with all these speakers from the movie and book Secret and all that, yep. Laws of Attraction. And I had a 6 months strategic plan because I was an unknown speaker. How do I get on a stage with Tony Robbins, Donald Trump, and all that? And I made it happen. It was just like, buy the book, but it happened. I was in studying in a cold weather in Salt Lake City, Utah one day, and I said, I want to go to Harvard. And I had to find a way to make it to Harvard with 3.1 GPA. Not even 4 point. Every 4 point GPAs get rejected at Harvard.
3.1s don't even get looked at.
They get laughed at. And I made it happen. So, but all of it happened, not to show off, but all of it happened because there's one thing above everything else. It's not how smart you are, what's your circumstances in life, what kind of beliefs you have, everything. This one thing, which I also learned when I spent time with the SEALs, former SEALs, is this: don't quit.
Yeah.
When you don't quit and keep going, it's just a matter of time. You're going to get what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. You bring up a good point. And oftentimes entrepreneurs, business owners, they quit right before that moment, yeah. Right before their breakthrough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is really what it boils down to. You know, and whether you're religious or not, one of my favorite sayings is God's delays are not God's denials.
Yeah.
You know, and so I believe, I'm a big proponent and believer that we're tested at all measures to see how much we can handle.
Yes. Yes.
And to see how persistent you're willing to be, because, you know, listen, if you could only do a 2 minute plank, but a 30 minute plank was required to be on the all-star team of all combative, Navy SEALs, and it was your goal to be a Navy SEAL, you'd find a way to do a 30-minute plank.
It's all in your mind. I mean, they tell you, and you know it yourself, Justin, in business, that at the end of the day, it's all in your mind, like a physical activity, a Spartan race, all of that. The body doesn't give up. It's the mind that gives up, and people stop. The body can go on and go on. You can walk across continents if the mind is there. That's why I always, in my coaching, consulting sessions, I focus initially with mental toughness and clarity before all this, how to do this, how to take your business to the next level, because I feel that is what's missing. That is what's missing, and that's why a lot of businesses fail.
Yeah, you know, in a lot of... So one of my favorite personal development gurus right now that I'm tracking, you know, obviously Tony Robbins,
yeah.
You know, obviously we come from that,
yeah.
That world.
But yeah.
Gary Vee, I've been tracking a lot recently lately too. And he talks a lot about how entrepreneurs of today are soft, right? So I think you're hitting on a really important point, which is, you know, listen, to be an entrepreneur isn't just putting, as he claims, entrepreneur on your Instagram profile.
Yeah.
Which, as Bruce would say, who's out there on the line with us, would say wantrepreneur. It really is a wantrepreneur.
That's a good word.
but it's more than that. It's actually having the, as you say, mental clarity and focus, the toughness, the grittiness to fucking figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, just figure it out. And, you know, I've shared some of my stories about, you know, as an entrepreneur, it hasn't always been glamorous and it hasn't always been easy. Yeah. And even, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I can point to some really challenging obstacles, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
And that's why that mental clarity and focus and toughness is so important that you speak.
Yes.
So what type of activities or exercises, if you will, do you take your clients?
Okay. I think everything about success goes towards our body, our mind, our spirit, our emotions, you know, wheels of life, you know, from Tony Robbins, all that. And I always tell my clients, take care of your body. When you wake up, have this session, could be just a few minutes about being grateful, go for a walk or take a yoga class or go exercise. Just awaken your body, because as Tony said 20, 30 years ago, body effects are action, our emotions and all that. As far as mental toughness, really, it's more about clarity. I think mental toughness comes from mental clarity. If you have a vision and purpose and you're so clear about it that you do anything to reach that goal or outcome, then the toughness comes with it. But you cannot have a toughness, mental toughness, if your mind is scattered all over the place. Right. If you are trying to launch 7 businesses and you never launched 1 successful business,
right?
You know, so I think take care of your body and mind. Be grateful. Peer group is very important. It's very important. You know how it is, Justin. When you are with people who are have the same goals, or at least they have the same clarity of mind of what they want to do, it moves mountains, just like our plank position. Basically, I just couldn't do it without those people being around me. And I think at the end of the day, start with something small, but finish it with obstacles. That builds confidence and toughness. Then build something that's slightly bigger. You know, some people keep talking when you ask them, what's your goal? Well, I want to make $1 billion. How much do you make currently making or in the last business?
Like,
40,000. Yeah. Okay, come on. Let's go from 40,000 to 6-figure. And then let's go to $250,000. And then let's go to $1 million. And then let's worry about $1 billion. And also, why do you want that $1 billion? What's your purpose?
Yeah.
Do you really, are you sure $50 million is not going to take care of everything you want to do and only $1 billion will do? I mean, seriously, do you have that clarity? Maybe all you need is just a millionaire lifestyle. I have some clients who make $20,000 to $25,000 a month. They have everything they need because they're driving the car of their dream. They live in a beautiful place and they can go vacation with that. All they wanted, they were so clear that they said with $20,000 to $25,000, I can have it. Yep. Well, some people $100,000, who knows? But be clear. But trying to, in the gym, lifting too much weight without having initially lifting 25 pounds dumbbells and going for 100 pounds, it's a sign. It's a sign you're not going to lift it.
Or you're going to hurt yourself.
Or your ego and your mindset.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Bruce? I mean, I know you probably come across with clients that are, you know, in that realm as well for you that you work with.
Right. Yeah, I like the younger ones that want to be billionaires, kind of without purpose, just dollar signs in their eyes. And kind of the real challenging ones are the younger guys in their 20s or early 30s that have the dollar signs in their eyes. And then they'll kind of stop after the body piece. You know, oh yeah, today here's my meditation and I'm going to do this and this, and I'm going to meditate and think big thoughts and jump in the ice bath and the cryo tube. And but then it never really goes beyond that. They look good. They have 6-pack abs, the hair, you know, got the nice forced part and a swing back and a fade on the hair, bam, they're not producing income because they're kind of stuck on their own. They're in love with being in love. You know what I mean? And they can't move on that. So yeah, that's why I just like these older guys, you know, that are a little bit older, just because they've had their ass handed to them enough and understand like, look, you know, you're just, if you make these adjustments and then you can probably pierce the veil or get closer to piercing the veil. Some clients that have, you know, made some true and legitimate gains. And try to get them to the next level versus dealing with people that are kind of half in denial.
Yeah, you know, you got to be all in, like, at the end of the day. And I'd say there's a reason why a lot of my good friends and mentors and people that I surround myself with are older. You know, I mean, even though you're only a couple of years older, Bruce and Kaz.
Right.
I am 25 and I'm sticking with that
okay,
for the next
50
years.
you know, there's a reason for it though. It's the wisdom. It's the, you know, I love how you said it, got your ass handed to you and you've had some hardship. And I think if you haven't gone through that yet, or if you have, but you weren't persistent enough to complete it. And I love what you said about completion cause, because, you know, I think that's another pitfall of society, of in particular millennials and the Gen Zers right now is their lack of desire to complete things.
Yeah.
Because, and listen, I'm speaking on myself. I am a millennial, but I see it around me in my peer group right now that it's easy to give up and just pivot to the next thing. And you just write it off as another failed attempt, or not even failed. You just write it off as a oopsie, another oopsie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's something to be said about finishing something.
Absolutely. I think what Bruce said really is so important to repeat it again, in that some people, especially younger ones, are successful at this time in history, right now.
Yeah.
But they never been down, and they think what, where they are is going to last forever. So they stop moving forward. They stop doing things that should keep them to the next level. And that's because they never been down. But most people who are, I remember when I was speaking at Chicago Convention Center with Trump, Tony Robbins, all that, all the speakers gathered one day in same room. They wanted to talk to us before the whole two-day show began. This was a Wealth Expo or something, Wealth Expo. And every one of these people have failed many, many times. Every one of these speakers, many of them had bankruptcies at one point. And now they know nothing stays the same.
Right.
They know no matter if they're down or up, it's not going to stay the same. So they don't take it easy. They just keep going. And a lot of successful younger people haven't experienced that fall. And therefore, they think everything stays the same. Economy changes, so many factors. And also about completion you just mentioned, I think that is the essence of building confidence.
Yeah.
When you complete something, even if you go to the gym one day and just lift whatever
weight. You completed a gym session.
Yeah, you completed it, and that prepares you for a next session, hopefully going to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah, I see it a lot, and it's frustrating, right? You know, like what you said, you have to have at least that one experience where you've been knocked down, that you either pull yourself or you're around the right people that help pull you and yourself and your own prowess back up again.
Yeah,
because if not, until you've had that getting kicked in the mouth experience, life is just one big bowl of cherries, right? And you know, I know, like when we met, you know, for example, I was in a former marriage and had a failed attempt at that and whatever, and I got kicked in the mouth with that.
Yeah.
And he saw me go through it, and and it's like, but you know what? I'm on the other side, and I'm doing all right. So.
Yeah, when one door shuts down, many other doors open.
And I've watched the same with, you know, Cause as well. Cause is, you know, got kicked in the mouth a couple times too, but I see him continually getting back up. You know, and that's the motive rhythm.
That's life, you know. That's why one reason is upside down marketing, or what you call quantum leap marketing. By the way, I'm going to use that term, but I'm going to give you credit.
That's fine. I'm going to give you royalty on it.
Okay. You know, because I did so many things, and a lot of times we focus so much on task and doing millions of things, and, you know, entrepreneurs, oh my God, today I got to do my SEO, I got to do my PPC, I got to do my email marketing, I got to do my social media marketing, I got to do my joint venture. They get so bogged down with so many tasks that sometimes they forget doing one giant thing that will give them marketing mileage for years to come. And that's something else that, you know, you and I talked about it earlier, that I wanted to talk to you guys, because that's something that truly have helped me to have a lifestyle I want by just doing once in a while giant things rather than little things all the time.
Yeah. And you do a great job of that. I mean, so when I was starting the entrepreneurial journey, quick story, I know Cause was, well, first of all, Cause was like, okay, well, when are we going to do our first meetup? And I was like, I don't know. We haven't built the content yet. And he's like, well, just pick a date in the calendar. We'll figure the rest out before then.
Schedule it.
So one of my big learning lessons from COS that I'll always remember, COS, was when you're planning a major event like that, whether it's a smaller meetup or a larger event or a podcast or whatever, put it in the calendar, you figure the rest out later. That's, you know, like I'm doing a webinar on Wednesday and I didn't have the content built out. I just, you know, you schedule it and you figure it out. Yeah. But talk to me more about this giant step marketing, because I've seen you kind of do this through your career. But what does it mean through your lens?
You know, I always feel that no matter what I want to do for business, let's say personal too, but let's focus on business and entrepreneurship. Whatever you do, you're going to have competition. So how do you set yourself apart from your competition? Because if I have a digital agency, there's so many others that do SEO, that do social media marketing, all that. How do you set yourself apart so that people or prospects come to you? And long time ago, I learned that in order to set myself apart from others, it's to do something that nobody else has done. Very few people have done. And it's, you know, when I started these seminars, it was very small. It was a Tony Robbins alumni group in West LA.
Yeah.
And I had first one, 20 people showed up and all that. And then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. But at some point I said, how do I become giant? Because I looked at Tony Robbins. I said, oh man, I want to speak right next to him and all that. You know?
He would be a giant next to
him. Yeah, actually. Exactly. But I'm going to have like a 10 feet high booth.
Oh, platform booth.
Platform booth to stand next to. And then, you know, Donald Trump those days was really heavily into this, not just real estate, but what was the show?
The Apprentice.
Yeah, Apprentice and all that. So I came up with a strategy, and it took me 6 months. How to be invited and speak with Trump, Tony Robbins, all that. And step number one was to see where they speak. So that's my target. So there was a wealth expo going on every other month. And I said, okay, that's where I want to be. No, how do I get the attention of the people who are organizing it? And three, not only how to get the attention, but how do I show them that I am able to talk? So in order to do that, I have to create layers of showing them I can talk in front of a crowd. Two, I'm credible.
Yeah.
Three, why they have so many choices of speakers. Why me? So I went to this mode of giving before I want to take. Giving to organizers of that giant wealth expo. So at some point they say, we have a choices, but we know COS because he has given us so much.
He's been delivering value.
Yes, without asking ever for it. So that was one thing, basically. When I wanted to write a book on, let's say, health and fitness, I said, how do I get myself involved with former Navy SEALs and all that? When I wanted to teach at university, I've taught so many courses, over 100 courses actually at Harvard, UCLA, UC Irvine, UC San Diego, Denver University, all that. I had to build something giant so they take me seriously. Basically. So the message is this. What's your mission and goal or outcome? And then is that giant enough to totally makes you like, I want to do this. I want to go for it because it just inspires me.
Right.
And that's, you know how it is. Sometimes the goals are just so weak that people say, maybe.
It doesn't really get you motivated.
No.
Is that goal large enough to get you out of bed?
Yes. Yeah. So once it's a giant goal and you have this passion for it, then you come up with giant steps to get there. And again, speaking of, for example, I wanted to share a stage with Tony, who was my idol at the time. I had to find out where he speaks. And at some point, he even talked about me at his Unlimited Power Weekend when he wanted to sell his master university at the last day of UPW. How do I have him talk about me? So it was all giving and giving. I invited his son, Jared, to come to my LAS group, and I gave them. I let them use my group to market UPW and all that. So at the end of the day, if you want to do something that's giant and that inspires you, you must pay the price for a while and be a giver type. Don't expect people. I mean, why should they hire you to be a speaker? There's millions of speakers out there. Build rapport with them. And here's the thing. Why do I do all of this? Because if you do something giant, for the rest of your life, you get marketing value out of it. Because now you've gone into what I call a bar. I have a bar system. Bar stands for branding, authority, reputation. If you have branding, authority, and reputation, then you can really overpass your competition because you're authority in your industry.
Yep.
You know, I have a bunch of books right now on Amazon. I didn't even care how many I sell.
Right.
It wasn't about that. It was about being able to go to meetings with prospects that I am a book author because of the authority factor. You know? So if you have any message for entrepreneurs, the first thing I would say is you need to set yourself apart by becoming authority in your industry.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Then, because if you don't have, or let's look at the reverse situation. Let's say you have a bad reputation. I don't care how much money you spend and effort and time in marketing and sales. If your reputation is not good, then the effect of those marketing dollars is going to be minimal.
Right.
That's why before you do focus on marketing and sales, build authority.
Yeah, and let's define authority a little bit further. Authority is expertise. It's being the truth keeper.
Yeah.
It's being the, right, so it's got some synonyms or some other variations of it, but I want to make sure, because sometimes authority, depending on the country where people are from that are listening out there, you know, authority doesn't mean you are necessarily in a position of power.
Yeah.
Right? It means that you have some secret sauce that others deserve. No.
Yeah.
Right. Great point. It's good to know that at least in my own entrepreneurial journey, I did some of the right things, you know, writing a book.
Yeah, this podcast is giving you guys, you and Bruce and others, authority because you're building rapport. You know, people, I always say when people buy from you, when they know you, they like you and they trust you.
Right.
This is building authority. When you publish a book, it's authority. When you speak on a in front of large crowd, that's authority. You know, you don't have to be a North Korean dictator to have authority. That's not what we're talking about. You know, we're not talking, like you said, about those kind of authority. We want to talk about something that people, your prospects, see you and say, that is the person or the firm that I can trust and that I know they have expertise and honesty to help myself.
So is it safe to say, just to kind of, I guess, summarize this one giant step marketing system that you've really employed, that it's really combining the mental clarity and understanding of your why or whatever your target is.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. So or for outcome, you and your outcome, right? Your outcome was, I want to speak on stage with Trump, or I want to speak on stage with Tony Robbins or whoever it was. And then you've put all these little steps, but although it's a one step, the one step is I'm going to be there. And in order to be there, I need to be in that center of influence.
Yeah.
That what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah. It's a center of influence. That's just surrounding that group of people or peoples or whatever that I want to be associated with.
Absolutely. Just one example of that is this. When I created that LAS group for a while, which was Tony Robbins alumni group initially, and then we changed the name because we wanted to go beyond just Tony Robbins alumni. I created what I called Local Influence Club, LIC. The Local Influence Club is so important because then I could invite other famous speakers to come over there.
Right.
Because I had the crowd. I had the audience. I had 100 people, 200 people waiting to hear. Now, that speaker then got to know me and owed me something. And now that speaker could later on bring me to his city or her city as a speaker. So by creating this local influence club, I created a situation where other speakers got to know me. Others could talk on my behalf, basically. It's so important to create this value for others. And again, I created value for these speakers. And you know what? The first time I did that, it was the scariest time. Because after one very famous speaker from this whole laws of attraction, and they said, well, you know, how many people do you have? And I didn't want to say 20, 30. So I guaranteed that person a minimum of 150 people.
Ooh.
And I didn't have that. But I said, yeah, in next 2 weeks, yeah, if she can come, I'll have 150 people. And I just said it. It's interesting. Because if you bring a famous speaker, you're going to get more crowd. Because of the name of that famous speaker.
Right.
It's a two-edged sword, good or bad, basically. And of course, for me, I always remember this American saying that if you want to take the island, burn all the ships behind you.
Burn the boats.
That's the only way you're going to take the island. So I said, okay, I guarantee 150 people. And in back of my mind, and I had a backup plan. I said the worst case scenario, and this is not politically correct thing, and I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but in the back of my mind, I said, I'm just going to, worst case scenario, go to downtown LA and get hundreds of homeless people, bring them here, I give them food and everything, but I will have 150 people.
Yeah.
And of course, it didn't come down to that, because once I started marketing and telling people I have this famous speaker, then that helped me to bring people in.
Isn't it interesting that the dynamic goes through as an entrepreneur to, like, that whole situation, right? The speaker was probably looking for a platform. They were looking for an audience to speak to.
Yeah.
Maybe people that hadn't heard their message before.
Yeah.
So that's why they were asking you what numbers you had, right? And by the same token, you're like, well, I'm trying to build this tribe to be larger than what it is. 20, 30 people today.
Yeah.
And so then you pivot, which I love, you pivot and you start to become the marketer of them and of this group. You add value, going back to what we've been talking about this whole podcast, you add value and it turns out to be win-win.
Absolutely. And I think you have to be very firm on scheduling it. So I scheduled that. And also, that gave me a platform. So I always had this famous keynote speaker in my events. But guess who was a business speaker for a short time? Myself. So I started. So thanks to keynote speaker, I brought a lot of people in. Then I exposed my own services to them. And then next thing you knew, Tony Robbins and Mark Victor Hansen and all of them were calling me to come and speak in front of my group, or send somebody like Jerick Robbins to come and market their next event in front of mine. And then you have to be firm too. At some point, you have to stop giving. And at some point, you want to get something back. And I remember, this is a funny story. I remember at some point, I gave too much to Mark Victor Hansen and his group. And so they called me
again.
What
do you mean you gave too much?
Well, I gave the gave and gave and gave.
Like content and information?
No. I basically allowed his people to come to my events, market. I gave them exhibition table, all that stuff. I gave. And then at some point they called me and they said, okay, Mark wants this. And suddenly I became very firm. I said, you know, I can't do that anymore because I feel like I've done a lot for your organization and I haven't received anything back. And a good business is a two-way business where everybody gives. So I cannot do that. Next day, they called me back. Oh, Mark wants to have this beautiful breakfast event for all paid for all your audience. So Mark Victor Hansen in Westin Hotel LAX, he reserved this giant room. He served food and it was just my audience. And he He sat me next to himself. He gave me personal coaching and all that. So, but the morale of the story is you give and give, and that's when you can get back. Some people think the world owes them,
right?
Or other people owe them. Nobody owes anybody. You have to build trust by giving, and then you can expect getting back.
Tony says the secret to living is giving.
Yeah.
Right. And so coming from that place of gratitude, of service oriented leadership, you know, at some point you have to check people, right? Yeah. Like you did. But oftentimes I found you don't ever even have to get to that point because human nature is to like, hey, like when they've given, you know, okay, 3, 4, 5 times for me, like I feel guilty taking anything else. You have to want it unless you're just horrible.
And I don't advocate expecting it and then going after them. How come you're not giving back? No. But at some point you have to say, okay, this is a relationship. Right. In a relationship, eventually both sides give. But these things I did, it's just one thing I did. It really gave me mileage for years and years and years. And I think that's where the concept of branding and authority gets inside marketing assets. That your marketing effort, time, and money gets much more powerful when you have that authority and brand.
Well said, Kaz. Well said. Go ahead, Bruce. Were you going to say something?
Oh, no. I just love that technique. You know, I have some. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I have some people that I know that are actors and actresses and whatever else. I'm just so tempted to go out right now and have some sort of a, you know, have a big time Hollywood person show up for whatever. And then I'll be the, like you said, the second or third banana on the program to introduce my stuff. That's genius, man. I don't know. It's so simple, but it's so powerful, man. Awesome.
Bruce has been trying to get you out here for a while now, man. Maybe if that was the seed to get you to actually do it, you know.
Yeah, for sure. That is to actually get out there. I know, easier said than done, but no, thanks for sharing that. I love that picture, Kaz, of yourself with Bill Clinton, and that was in the front page of the newspaper, LA Times. Just
thank you.
Huge score, man. Huge, man. So again, just I wanted to bring that up. Just
Thank you.
Let our listeners know you're the real deal and kind of an OG, man. Did that from back in the day, 90s or whatever. I think that was early 90s when you did that. So
it doesn't get political. Also, I went after Donald Trump. So it's both Republican and Democratic.
No, we're not political here on the show, man. That is a victory.
We're independents here. It
could have been with, like you said, the Kim Jong Un would be like, all right, you know, I mean, but just like you said, with an authoritative figure. So, I know we got to wrap up. We have to wrap up here in a few minutes, but thanks for so much for coming on the show and sharing your insights. And
thank you.
And wow, you know, and I went on your website. You just offer a depth and breadth of services potential clients. So again, thank you so much for sharing your experience. It's just been a pleasure listening and being part of today, and hopefully one day I'll get to meet you when I come out there.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that, Bruce. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, do you want to bring us home or do you want me to do that?
Go ahead, bring it home, man. You'll be our bring us home, Justin. Bring us home.
All right. Well, Kaz, like Bruce said, we've just thoroughly enjoyed it, and all our Facebook Live subscribers out there, we hope you've enjoyed it too. So just in wrapping up here, tell listeners and Facebook Livers, you know, where they can find you, find out more about Kaz and brand,
They can just Google my name and you have all the lists, but my main website is deepmind.academy. So it's www.deepmind.academy. So instead of .com, it's .academy. And that you can find all sorts of information about myself and my firm and our services. You can always ask Justin. He knows me. He can get hold of me.
I know where he lives.
He knows
I know where he lives. No, but Kaz, it's just been an absolute privilege and a pleasure, you know, and so good to see you again. You know, I haven't seen you in a while, but doing amazing things as always.
Thank you. It's good
to share, not necessarily the stage here today, but share our at home studio here with
this
you today.
This was fun.
Thank you. And for you listeners out there, I hope you took a couple golden nuggets. There was lots of them in here today. So thanks again, Kaz.
Sure.
All right, Bruce, why don't you bring us home?
All right, will do. Well, folks, come and get our podcast. Come to the Apple Podcast section, formerly known as iTunes. We have all the previous shows on Apple. Also, our shows are archived on the LA Talk Radio site, and they have its own unique player and URL. So that's a fun thing that LA Talk Radio does for us. Thank you. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. Also, follow our social media on The Concierge Coaches on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And folks, and Justin, how can folks reach you?
Yeah, just simple. It's mylastname.com. You know, my last name hopefully is somewhat memorable and unique and original. So nimragood.com, you can find out about myself and really my company, which is In Good Company, what we're doing as a community of entrepreneurs out there in the marketplace. So thank you very much, everyone. Really appreciate the time here today.
All right, everybody. See you next week here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Have a blessed week.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.